depleted in the secondary, and they're not playing well at all. No confidence. Aaron Rodgers in a groove. And when he's in this type of groove, I've been on the other side of that. And it's going to be almost impossible to beat Green Bay. And to his credit, especially if the defense gets going. Za'Darius Smith had a monster of a game last night. But Aaron Rodgers right now is in the pocket. And listen, he is slowly climbing up to be in that MVP conversation ahead of Russ for me, the way he's playing, man.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, you heard that? Since you think he hasn't played anybody, even though, okay, I got all that. Did you see the Chiefs yesterday?
Yeah, they,
did you see
they
the Chiefs?
Yeah, they should be worried.
Just Saturday.
They should be worried.
The Chiefs are in a league by themselves right now, and that's without Chris Jones on the front last night. This is a very good football team, and the Patriots, again, gave you the script, similar to how the L.A. Chargers gave you a couple weeks before, is trying to contain them, but understand you can't stop them. It's hard. Listen, it is hard work to have to go beat that offense, because you know whether it's 20 or 30 or 40, the Chiefs have the capability of putting up that type of points. That's tough to match each and every week.
That's right.
I think they should be worried.
They shouldn't be, just because Max Kellerman says that.
They look really vulnerable in the Super Bowl. Down 10 in the fourth quarter to a team that almost never lost until they came back and Patrick Mahomes called his own number, you know, a 15-step drop and a 60-yard pass later, and then they won the Super Bowl looking vulnerable throughout those playoffs, and they've looked vulnerable this year. Just beating the Patriots by more than two touchdowns before that, beating by two touchdowns a Ravens team that has only lost regular season games, it seems, to the Chiefs, right? They don't lose otherwise. They're just a vulnerable team. They're constantly behind in games. Everyone seems to have their number. Boy, that's the luckiest team ever.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep. So lucky.
I fell asleep. What's their record again?
They're undefeated, 4-0.
Yeah, okay. Who won the Super Bowl again?
It was handed to
them. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it was handed to them, really.
Gracie Hunt actually won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, how's that going, that relationship?
Not well.
Doesn't know your life, right?
Yeah, still has no clue who I am.
No clue. And look, don't feel bad about that, because I would say you're in a large percentage of men in which she has zero idea exists.
It's okay.
Yeah. No. Like I said, there's no. In this case, I wouldn't even.
I'm not bitter. There's no. Nothing.
You shouldn't.
I'm not even upset.
Zero chance.
But the Chiefs, they should be worried.
They should not be worried.
They should be concerned.
Not at all.
I mean, it's the worst 4-0 start I've ever seen.
Oh, here we go. The worst 4-0 team ever, huh? Who's better, Packers or Chiefs?
I think the Saints are better than both of them.
Okay, on that note, let's hear from New Orleans Saints running back Latavius Murray. What he had to say about the fact, first off, you know, he was asked, what was it like staying up late trying to get a COVID test or not?
I went right back to sleep, thankfully, but
just like Jordan.
I mean, when I heard the banging, I definitely thought something was wrong. Bo had a sad look on his face. Yeah, man, we got the testing out the way. You know, I was obviously hoping for the best once I got tested that I wouldn't hear back nothing, and I didn't. And fortunately, the game was still on, and we went out there and did what we had to do. But, yeah, this season, you know, it's been a little different. It's going to be different going forward. And I think the teams that embrace that, understand that, I think they'll be just fine, and I think we handled it well last night.
Look, I think, man, what they did in Detroit really, really should make you feel good if you're a Saints fan about where this team's about to go. I really do believe that. I do. Again, playing without six starters, having to go through retesting and testing through the middle of the night, you'd have been just sleeping the entire time. You wouldn't even answer your door.
What?
Exactly. And more importantly, the thing that gives me the most confidence is, this is just my opinion in theory. If they want to go to that next level and want to be able to, you got those backs got to be important, man. Aaron Rodgers talked about at the end of the game last night the importance of being able to throw 95 yards out the backfield to one of his running backs. When your backs can be that big in the passing game, and then you hand it off and you can do that as well in the run game, it just makes you harder to stop. I love to make fun of them, but I'm convinced and I'll buy you a bag of beignets, that the year the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, Sean Payton saw how the Falcons used that backfield. Alvin Kamara was drafted the following year. And then he and Mark Ingram put, I mean, they, the way they were used, the tandem, and working off of one another, made this team difficult to stop on offense. Latavius Murray was asked, what is it like right now to be playing off of Alvin Kamara? Don't they look like they, like Sean Payton and even them, they not that they wouldn't know how to play off of one another. I mean, they don't really have a choice, well, right? They go in when they go in. To me, it's more Sean.
Last season was a little awkward. I think it was that transition. And now this season.
You think so?
This season, you're seeing it look more natural. Like it, that is, it's not the same duo as a Alvin Kamara and
Mark Ingram.
But, I mean, I think you're starting to see them kind of progress.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, is that more on the players or is that more on the play calling and knowing how to work both of them?
I do agree with that point.
Right?
I think there's a little bit of both.
Right.
It's not like they
walk in and be like, hey, you go, no, the black, it's not like they're blocking for one another when they're in. Now, like, there might be something to that in terms of how offensive linemen block for them. I mean, you've heard offensive linemen in the past say, look, when I know that guy's behind me, I gotta get in front of you for a second when I got a quick back. Right? Another guy, you know, you kind of tend to know their style and where they like to go. Murray on playing with AK right now.
I think a lot. I think obviously, you know, being the two backs in the running back room, we take responsibility to allow the offense, you know, possibly to, you know, jump start through us or to, you know, make a play to get us going. So I think we both know how important that is, and so we definitely feed off each other energy, feed off each other. You know, playmaking, and constantly communicating, you know, off the sideline, you know, on and off the field. So it's helped a lot, definitely, us to, you know, communicating and you know, just being, you know, just trying to compete, He's trying to make plays. I'm trying to make plays. I think that's what it's all about.
Okay, one of the reasons why I didn't give a higher grade on the offense, I went with a C, is just the consistency aspect and feature of it. Latavius Murray on the fact they are trying to do that.
Yeah, I mean, again, just improving on, you know, there's things we could clean up from yesterday. So I think just still, you know, learning, you know, growing, correcting those mistakes, and then building off of the success that we had. And I think that's how you put, you know, some runs together, and that's what we want to do. We want to, you know, we go in there to win every time. So hopefully we can stack some wins, that, you know, as we, you know, head into this this next quarter of the season. Or at least I know go 3-2 before this bye week. That's important. So the next one is important, and, you know, that's what we just want to do. Build off of, you know, this win. Build off of the things we did well and obviously made the corrections.
Latavius Murray there. We'll hear a little bit more coming up later in the show. Quick break, though, when we come back. It is sports director for Fox 8's Juan Kincaid. His thoughts and his grades on the New Orleans Saints offense, defense, special teams, and coaching. We'll do that when we come back. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
She don't know what she wants to be.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodeau Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
Physical therapy for health issues or following an injury can be very beneficial and help restore your physical function. One form of physical therapy that makes exercise and treatment less painful and as a result more successful, leading to an improved quality of life, is aquatic therapy.
Aquatic therapy takes place in the water under the supervision of a trained therapy expert and uses water resistance instead of weights. People of all ages, including those with special needs and physical limitations, can benefit from aquatic therapy. It can even be used if someone does not know how to swim.
Thibodeau Regional is proud to offer cutting-edge aquatic therapy equipment. The HydroWorks therapy pool is designed to be very versatile so that a wide variety of patients with certain health conditions can be treated, such as paralysis, stroke rehabilitation, arthritis therapy and relief, post-surgical rehab, and so much more. What makes the HydroWorks therapy pool effective is its innovative use of technology to promote healing. One key element is the underwater treadmill. Using an underwater treadmill monitored by video cameras promotes proper gait and encourages correct biomechanics while walking or running underwater. Another key component is the movable floor. For patients with mobility issues, the HydroWorks therapy pool has a movable floor that makes it easy for children, older adults, or anyone with orthopedic conditions to get in and out of the pool without using steps or ladders.
Aquatic therapy and athletics go hand in hand. Let me show you how our HydroWorks therapy pool can help keep athletes safely in the game. Pool workouts following an athletic injury have been clinically proven to be an important part of the recovery process. Completing HydroWorks therapy workouts after an athletic injury can have the following benefits: increase mobility and strength, maintain fitness levels, decrease swelling, improve the balance and stability, and pain relief. Buoyancy allows for more range of motion and can increase joint flexibility. The warm water also helps improve circulation, relax muscles, and improve healing.
If you have questions about aquatic therapy, please call the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center at 985-493-4782.
Aquatic therapy and athletics go hand in hand. Pool workouts following an athletic injury have been clinically proven to be an important part of the recovery process.
If you have questions about aquatic therapy, please call the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center at 985-493-4782.
985-493-4502 or www.thibodeau.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodeau Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit thibodeau.com.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. As always, we love it when Juan Kincaid, sports director at Fox 8, joins us. Talk a little Deportes. Juan, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Gus. How are you, man?
Doing fantastic, man. A little busy over there at the station this week, huh?
A few things going on, yeah. And we got a storm coming, so it's going to ramp up even more.
I hear you, man. Jordan was watching one of the many shows going on over at Fox 8, and he liked the question of what is turning a positive a negative. What was it, Jordan?
It was turning a negative into a positive.
Mm.
And it was like a funny play on words because it was a positive turning into a negative.
I'd like to say that was all my usage of words, but that was really our producer, John Bennett, that serves all the credit. So if I don't give him credit, I'll hear about it later.
I hear you. Look, Juan, I think one of the things that was interesting why I'm starting our conversation with that is because I think that's sort of the Saints in terms of the first quarter of the season. The question we threw out there today is, a report card, right? You know, you remember going in school and you got quarters and you got reports and you got a grade for it. So offense, defense, special teams, coaching, I'm going to ask you that here in a quick second. But I think that's what I look at when I look at the Saints and I think about it, is that while there's some things that are negative, I think the positive is that they're improvable, right? In other words, Juan, a team that doesn't have talent just doesn't have talent. A team that doesn't have positions that are needed and aren't capable, they just don't have them. I don't think that's the Saints' problem. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. I mean, we know this team is one of the, I would say, one of the top 5-10 teams in the NFL. They're very talented. They're very deep. They're very experienced in most of their positions. But they have their own flaws. And one of them is that they were the most penalized team in the league up until this past game that they won in Detroit, where I think they had 4 penalties. That was a huge improvement over the previous 3 weeks. So, I mean, every team in the NFL has flaws, and some teams have a lot less than others. The Saints have their own problems they have to work through, but because they are talented, because they have many of the pieces that you would want in a football team already in place, you would expect that they will improve in the areas they need to improve in. If not, then house needs to be cleaned because people aren't doing their job the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case here.
I gave the Saints an overall grade of a B-, and the reason, one of the main reasons was a C is average, right? A C is average by its definition. That's what it is. I don't think they're an average team. I think they're above average. And if anything, they've shown that they're above average, because I don't know if an average or below average team can afford to go on the road and win a game where you don't play with six starters. When you go down 14-0 before you can have a sip of your beer. You know, I mean, it's, and they went out and did those things and even still didn't score in the fourth quarter and still win and overcome a lot of the things they've had. Their O-line's been nicked up most of the season. And, you know, look, they've played some pretty decent teams. So I think they're above average overall, despite some of the deficiencies they've had. Where would you put them overall grade?
I disagree with you. I think they've been an average football team, because I think that the expectations were so high coming into this season. And we talked about it numerous occasions about how, okay, if there's any team that can combat or that would rise above the pandemic schedule and how off it was this year for all pro sports, but especially for the NFL, it should be the Saints, because they have everybody back. I think they have about five players that weren't really with this team last year, or whatever the case may be. But overall, this is an experienced football team coming back that should be able to overcome not having preseason football games, not having OTAs, not having this, that, and the other. But their experience in games with each other should trump all that and make them better, and it hasn't. And I look at two games, obviously the Green Bay game and the Las Vegas game. Those two games are why I say this team has been average, because it was the same thing. The team's inability to make an adjustment to what was killing you, especially the tight end. And that falls on the players, but really falls on the coaching staff of not being able to identify the problem and finding a way to fix it over the course of 60 minutes. I think this team has been an average football team. That's the reason why they're 2-2 on the season. Now, I thought they would lose to Tampa, but they would beat Vegas. And, of course, I thought they would beat the Lions. I thought they would lose to Green Bay. So half of that has happened. So, to me, they are where I expected they would be after four games. But I think they can excel to be better than average before their season is up. They should be much better than average before the season is up.
Speak with Juan Kincaid, sports director over there at Fox 8 at Juan G. Kincaid's the way to follow over on Twitter, looking at the Saints' first quarter of the season. Juan, when you take a look at the backfield, I love how Sean Payton has adjusted, I think, his philosophy to an extent of understanding he's got two good backs there. We know what Kamara can be healthy, but I love how he's used Latavius Murray. If anything, I wish he would have used him a little bit more in a game or two, but look, you saw what he can do, and I throw another screen or two over to Murray. I know you got Kamara, but man, I just like what I'm seeing out of both backs right now.
Well, I think Sean Payton, for 1 week, and that being the Detroit week, he recognized what the advantage his team had. I mean, obviously factoring in the fact there's no Michael Thomas for the third game in a row, you've got six starters out, you need to play ball possession, and you've had a really good running game this whole entire first quarter of the season. But against Detroit, who couldn't stop running water, you need to run the ball. They've handed it to a guy 42 times. That's how they win the game. Even on third and mid-range, like 6 to 7 yards, they're not chucking it down the field. They're running the ball because that's where the strength was. So I'm glad to see Sean Payton stuck with the game plan. So many times we see him, we're going to run the ball here. We run the ball in the first quarter. The next thing you know, they've gotten away from the run. They've run it 25 times and thrown it 45 times. But this time he stuck with it, and I was happy to see that, because that's how they were going to win that football game on Sunday.
Good point. Juan Kincaid, Fox 8 sports director for Fox 8. I think one of the things that I think that's also something to be positive about is the play of what we saw with Sanders and Tre'Quan Smith. It's incredible. I looked at that box score, Juan. I don't know if you were surprised as I was that Tre'Quan only caught four balls. It felt like he caught more than four, and he was targeted four times, which makes it even better, right? Because he caught everything that was thrown his way. Two of them were in the end zone. One sealed the game. You know that has to do a ton for his confidence and the confidence of the team and Breeze. But also, look, Sanders said it, the icebreaker, the touchdown in the Packers game. And you saw his six receptions look smooth, seamless, and on point with Drew. I think that bodes well, knowing that 13 eventually is going to come back to you.
Well, I agree with you. And, you know, we talk about guys that didn't benefit from having the OTAs and the mini camps and, of course, the preseason games. You're looking at a guy like an Emmanuel Sanders, who probably would have benefited from having that extra time here at the facility on the field catching balls from Drew Brees that he didn't get. So he has to kind of get up to speed with his quarterback in the actual games. And I think we're starting to see him come around and become more of an option for Drew, who's going to look to and have more confidence in. Yeah, you're right. Tre'Quan didn't catch many balls, but the balls he did catch were very significant. I mean, the touchdown catch is obviously fantastic, but he's grown up. And he talked about how he feels more comfortable now that he knows how to play Michael Thomas, because he knows all the routes, all the positions on the field, and so they can have more confidence in getting him more involved in the offense. I think he took a big step forward. He kind of grew up in that game, and we got to see the benefit of it with him catching important passes, not just catching five-yard out, catching important balls from Drew Brees in a time where, look, we've been asking Gus for the last 4 weeks, can they throw the ball down the field? Well, they show with Traquan they can throw it down the field with him and Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think their growth in the rest of that offense, and hopefully an offensive line can get healthy and go through a game healthy, you can see what can happen. So those are things and reasons to be positive about this team moving forward, because it's developmental. You think it's going to get better. How do you view the defense? What kind of grade would you give the defense?
I would give the defense a C-. And for reasons being, I think Cam Jordan has been nothing like the Cam Jordan we expect. I think it will get better, but one sack does not convince me that he is all the way back. He's got to get better. I think the secondary has been poor. I think they need to play better man-on-man defense, stop with the pass interference. It's to me that more often than not, these calls are correct by the referees. Marcus Williams needs to be a better ball hawk. He needs to be better at getting to the point of getting the height of the ball as opposed to going through the man. There's so many – Malcolm Jenkins needs to play better. They bought him here to kind of be the glue in that secondary, and he has not been as good as advertised. That secondary needs to play better football. DeMario Davis needs to be better at the middle line, at the mic position. He needs to play better. So I just think this defense as a whole, while we've seen some flashes, like Trey Hendrickson has been fantastic, like the way he's playing. You know, Sheldon Rankins has played better. Alex Anzalone needs to play better. I mean, I just think there are too many pieces, too many experienced guys on that side of the defense, because most of the mistakes they're having are from the veteran guys. Marshawn Lattimore has not been great. You know what I mean? The list goes on and on. But I see that unit getting better as we go forward here, because I guess too many good players on that side of the ball for it not to get better. So I would say C- right now.
I agree with you, and that's what I gave him. I gave him a C-. Moving forward here, I want to ask you in about 30 seconds, and Jordan will wrap up with his question about next week. But what do you say with coaching? I went with B- on coaching so far this year.
I would say a B- as well, because I think Sean Payton recognizes that he has not been the best play call in his first quarter of the season. Dennis Allen, if I'm going to give Sean Payton, I would say, yeah, that. But Dennis Allen, it needs to be better. I think he would be the first to tell you that he needs to call a better game. He needs to be able to recognize where his team is getting beat and make the proper adjustments with the proper players. So I think B- is pretty spot on. This is not a complete team, and they're like every other NFL team. They're trying to figure it out as they go forward here and get better on both sides of the ball. I think special teams have been fantastic. But, you know, it has some work to do, too. We're only 4 weeks into the season, so and a lot of football to be played. A lot of teams are chasing that are really good, the Green Bays and teams like that. Tampa is fantastic. I've always thought Tampa would be the team that's chasing. So a lot of work to be done. I think this Saints team is still one of the best 10 teams in the league.
Juan, moving to next Monday's matchup against the Chargers, I'm a little concerned just from looking at the standpoint of the past three games. They played the Chiefs, the Panthers, and the Buccaneers, all within 7 points that they've lost by. I'm just feeling that the Chargers are going to kind of take that leap to the next step and beat the Saints this week. Kind of calm me down here.
Well, I think the Saints are a better football team. If I'm going to worry about anything, it's going to be Joey Bosa on the defensive side of the ball and the Saints' offensive line. How healthy is Ramchick going to be? If he's healthy, then I think they're able to contain Bosa and win the football game. I don't think the Chargers are one of the best teams in the AFC. Saints should win that game. Look at what Carolina did to them and learn from that, and the Saints should be okay. I expect them to be 3-2 when they come out of this game on Monday.
Juan Kincaid, sports director at Fox 8, man. Always appreciate the time you chat with us, man.
Guys, appreciate it, man.
Yep, and Juan G. Kincaid is the way to follow him on Twitter. Up next, Ali Costello to preview game 4. Should I even get my hopes up to watch the NBA Finals tonight? Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans. And
At Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat and Homie, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Ram Power Days event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill with the Sports Hangover. Excited to tell you about Men's Total Health. They're located at 3829 Vets, right behind the Fidelity Bank building, Suite 101B. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self. Testosterone therapy, annual physicals, and IV therapy. Look, go get tested. They have on-site labs. You can get test results while you're there. Low T can produce physical changes like reduced energy and increased body fat, reduced libido, ED, and give you emotional changes. Visit menstotalhealth.net today and see if they can help you.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Ramsey's will sell you a 2-carat diamond.
That's big.
For just $6,495.
$6,495, 2 carats.
You can choose between a 2-carat diamond from a diamond mine
or a 2-carat created diamond.
Compare them side by side, then make your choice.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
Hey, Sagatz, join us Thursday. We'll talk some NFL football with our friend Aaron Schatz. Football right around the corner. Dan Lebensart Show with me, Sagatz, right here on ESPN Radio.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Major League Baseball playoffs are going on all night, Jordan. Is that what I'm going to be paying attention to tonight, or am I going to go to ABC 8 p.m.? Lakers, 8. Michael Thompson, former NBA champion. Not worried. I told you this was the storyline, right? Not after that game. Not worried about AD. They'll bounce back. They'll play hard. We'll go to Ali Cosell here in a second.
Yeah, don't worry about Anthony Davis, man. This man is the second best player in the world. He's going to bounce back strong tonight. Jay Will, you're a basketball player. You've been around greatness. You were a great player yourself. You know when you have an off game, when you're as great as AD is, you're going to make up for that in the next game. So, somebody might be in trouble tonight on Miami's team. How to deal with him?
I told you. What'd I tell you? That's the storyline going into this game. Ali Cosell at the Bird Rights joins us to preview and talk about game number 4. Ali, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Wish there was not another storm turning towards us, but hey, we're right. Used to it by now, man. This year does not stop.
No, I hear you. I thought the tone of voice was because, yeah, you know what's coming today, right? Bounce back. Look at how much of a champion they are to be able to play hard. Jordan was losing his mind Monday when we were playing all the sound bites on how the team just didn't play well. Doris Burke, they're going to have to challenge
each
other.
Didn't think they had to step up.
Yeah, exactly. Jordan's like,
it's
why
the NBA
would,
finals.
That's what he's like, why wouldn't you play hard in game 3? That's the Lakers, though. That's AD. That's AD. That's LeBron in their careers.
Right. People here in New Orleans know fully well what to expect of Anthony Davis, and he was not that consistent beat. He would have off games, and look, we saw it again. This isn't the first time it's even happened in Los Angeles, let alone these playoffs. But look, now the problem is, of course, Miami got that one game where AD was completely off, got into foul trouble. So he is going to bounce back. What I'm curious to see, though, can they still get enough support from the rest of their teammates? Like, for instance, Markieff Morris and Kyle Kuzma combined for, 38 points off the bench. If the Lakers can get that, then I think no matter what the Heat do, they're in for a loss in game four. But if they don't, it could be interesting because I think Miami discovers something in that game three. So I'm hoping for a good battle, right? Let's see if they can tie it up 2-2 in a series.
It's interesting, Ollie, you brought that up, that they found something. Because I was going to ask you, what did they find in order to come up with that game and get that win? Not having Bam, not having Gore and Dragic. I mean, man, Adebayo and Dragic are so key, especially Adebayo on the defensive end and what he can bring to it. And look, man, even if they do manage to somehow come back in this series, they're not going to be 100% healthy. And you just – look, I know Jimmy gave you 40. What, you can't expect that every game, can you?
No, of course not. That's not Jimmy's game. But, look, hats off to him for taking upon his shoulders. He's got two key guys out. He saw his team's down 2-0, and he had to lead. He had to dominate almost every possession because he's literally their best playmaker right now. So you've got to think that's not going to change. And what Miami found was surrounding him with four shooters. With Bam sitting out, they had to go small, and they got fortunate, like we said, that Anthony Davis just got into foul trouble. But, look, I still think their key to success is going small and playing man-to-man. They went away from their zone, which the Lakers absolutely destroyed in the first two games. You know, they were throwing it right into Anthony Davis around the free throw line, breaking apart basically that zone, and they just beat up on the Heat in those first two games. But they completely eliminated in game three and went man-to-man. Look, they played tough, they played physical, and they just gave more effort. So if they can bring back that same effort and just basically out-hustle, you know, the Lakers, they'll have a chance.
You know, it's interesting because the score was tight and it did almost make a comeback, but you brought up the key too. What Kuzma and the other player for the Lakers had to come up to combine the 30-plus points off the bench. That's not consistent all the time. So unless they do that, I can see where you're coming from, that maybe effort and the Heat being able to have a good game, they can do that. It's just it takes so much, right? I mean, I felt that way even when I watched the Pelicans play them in the series this season. You have to play well because of those two players in LeBron and AD. So all those things have to go well. One of them has to have an off night. There's just a lot that has to happen. I mean, it can't, but it just does, though.
Right. I think we can pencil in, probably for the rest of this series, AD and LeBron combining for 60 points or so, somewhere in that neighborhood for the rest of this series. Because Kelly Olynyk and Jimmy Butler thoroughly outplayed that duo for Los Angeles in Game 3. But here's my key. Everybody says that's the best Miami can play. I don't agree with that at all. Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero had really off-shooting nights in Game 3. I even saw Heat miss a couple of easy layups in that fourth quarter, and they still kind of won going away. So if they can get some good shooting, at least out of one of those two guys, and get some consistent scoring from, say, Olynyk again, maybe Bam gives you some, then like I say, I don't think the Lakers are going to walk all over Miami. It's just not in their nature, right? This is the toughest team, I feel like, in the NBA. So if they just get enough of their contributions and the Lakers don't get hot, like everybody gets hot, it should be a battle.
Speaking with Ollie Cosell, as always, we love it when you chat with us, sir. At Ollie Cosell is the way to follow you over on Twitter, editor-in-chief of The Bird Writes. The Spoelstra effect. What can a coach do at this point? I mean, you've pretty much known what you're going to do. Players have to play and shots have to be made. What other little wrinkle can he do, you think, or ace that he has up his sleeve to try to buy a quarter, maybe buy some momentum at the right time, or even try to steal again this game?
Well, it's great that, like I said, he found something in game three by going small, surrounding Jimmy Butler with shooters. So that's in his back pocket now. Well, I think he can throw the curveball at with his Bam coming back. If Bam can give you, say, 25 minutes, then you can play a stop, you know, basically a little tougher style of defense. And maybe take some more chances because Miami does like to get you to force basically into bad shots and get out and, of course, score easy buckets in transition with the guards. If they can do that at times, I think that would really help because otherwise you're going to have to rely on Jimmy Butler. And you just absolutely know that they're going to make the adjustments, Frank Vogel, by, you know, probably sending double teams. There's no way they're going to let him go one-on-one, get an easy switch, and thereby he's going to dominate whoever's, you know, guarding him when LeBron gets switched off. So that's what Spo's probably going to be looking at. That's what worked in Game 3 is not working. He can switch it up with Bam being back.
I didn't think that was going to be him the rest of this postseason, but could Tyler Hero have another one of those big games? And how important would that be, right? I mean, because here's one thing. Ollie, I'm trying to steal tonight. I got to play like I'm trying to steal home court away back in the day when you went back and forth and traveled when we had no COVID. You understand what I'm getting at? Because I think if you do that, then pressure starts to mount, right? Then all of a sudden,
absolutely,
all of the reports, the Twitters, the Instagrams, all that stuff, and then you start to see what happens. If you can just steal tonight, then the onus is on them now.
And that's what you need to do, because they've already suddenly gotten slapped in the face. People are already a little concerned that they just dropped a single game. You can just tie it up 2-2. Suddenly the pressure isn't really going to be on LeBron, because, you know, LeBron's going to come through. He's going to get his buckets and baskets. You got to think AD, for the most part, will be fine too, but it's the rest of the guys. Mm-hmm. That's who starts feeling it. When it's the third and fourth quarter and it's less than 10-point difference in the score, suddenly they're being asked to knock down three shots. And you know what? It gets a lot harder when all of a sudden things are tight because the series has been tied up at 2-2. So that's the hope, right? Miami's got to get tonight to force that, though.
So many people openly rooting for Miami like I am. It just is. I'm going to be texting you tonight. I just am. It is how it is. Ollie, final thing for you, man. I want to get your opinions, obviously. I'm surprised. Friday we heard Ty Lue and David Griffin were going to have a chat. They were going to meet. That's it. I haven't heard anything since then. Not even in the Pelicans front, but Ty Lue's going to meet with the Clippers. Or Ty Lue's going to meet with... Are you surprised you haven't heard anything from that front on Ty Lue? Not even just the Pels side, but nothing has come out that I know, huh?
No, it really hasn't, but here's the key, I think. Steve Ballmer, when he fired Doc Rivers, basically said, look, we're not just going to go ahead and grab whoever's on the bench, which they have two good candidates, Ty Lue and Sam Cassell, but he wanted to do an extensive coaching search, and I think that goes along with his personality. He just dropped $2 billion on the Clippers. He's going to spend another $1.2 to refurbish the old Forum where the Lakers used to play in Inglewood. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He hasn't put his stamp really on this team, because Doc Rivers, he inherited as the coach. So I think he's going to want to put in a guy that kind of matches him, he just likes. And he's a guy that rolls with his gut. So I never felt like Ty Lue was a super front runner for that job, simply because he came from underneath Doc Rivers, right? Ballmer doesn't seem that guy. He's just going to hand it to him. So I'm not shocked, and I think that's why the holdup is there now. Ty Lue is still obviously one of the favorites for that Clippers job, but until he gets it or until they go in a different direction, I think the New Orleans Pelicans are going to be in a holding pattern. I really think Griff, his number one on the board right now, is Ty Lue, but I have a feeling Kenny Atkinson's right there, and probably there might be a few others. But like I said, if Ty Lue is still in limbo, I think the Pelicans are going to stay in limbo.
So you think even though they've met, so you think even at that meeting, Ty Lue maybe said, hey, look, I want to see what they have to offer, and you give them that benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, I see that's the tough thing. I have a feeling that Ty Lue, if we know going by past experience, he honestly wants max deals, max money. Lakers, for instance, he wanted 5 years, $7 million per season, and I'm pretty sure New Orleans does not want to offer that. I think they want to stick to, say, between maybe $5 and $6 million tops. And for Ty Lue, that can be enough when you consider he's going to want a team that's ready to win now, right? He's established himself, championship in his belt. So he should be seeking the best available job where the team's going to be ready to win now. It's not New Orleans. So I can understand why he's waiting, both for fiscal reasons and, of course, team reasons for personal success. So, yeah, I wish it would get resolved, guys. We've been sitting now, since like August 15th without a coach, and, you know, the talk is getting louder and louder. But, look, there's five teams still without a coach, and I don't think, like, any of them are going anywhere, especially Griffin's top option.
All right, as always, man, appreciate the time. I will be texting you throughout the game when things go well and when things don't go well. Ollie Cosell, editor-in-chief of the Bird.
I hope we get to celebrate a little bit again.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Thank you as the time, as always.
Absolutely. Take care, guys. Thanks.
All right, for sure. A quick break. We come back. Oh, man. I wonder. First, I can't believe you got him to agree to stop in and say hi real quick. His Braves are playing right now. What's the score here? 4-3.
4-3.
4-3. Marlins, huh?
Now it's the middle of the fifth.
Uh-oh. Let's see how Daniel Salerson is doing. Got to talk to him, though, about an award given to Drew Holiday, and then we'll let him go so he can go watch his Atlanta Braves. They went a commercial break, Daniel, so I'll shut up, and you can chat. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. I get up!
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you's AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin-backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Hour three coming up, top of this hour. In about 12 minutes, Matt Muskonen after further review. Still in a commercial break, so Daniel, I'll make this quick. Daniel Salerson, Pelicans Radio Network, how are you?
I'm good, man. This shows my dedication towards your show that I am doing this during the Braves game.
I know. I hear you, man, but at least you're playing. At least you're playing. My team doesn't even know if they're going to have a general manager. We don't know anything. Who's playing? Who's on the team? You know what? This isn't about me. This is about Drew Holiday. Got awarded something nice that hadn't happened, apparently, to the Pels, huh?
Yeah, the Spyman Stokes Teammate of the Year Award, which is the first in franchise history. They started giving it out in 2013, so there hasn't been a lot of winners. But at the same time, a much-deserved award. Everyone talks about Drew Holiday and his defense and how great of a player he is, but I think a lot of people talk about how great of a teammate he is and how much he is a leader of this team on and off the court. So it was very nice to hear that he received this award this afternoon.
You know, we've talked about his relationship in that locker room, what he's meant. I think everybody was beyond impressed with how he handled last season and really just kind of threw the team on his shoulders to be competitive after all of that came out in January. You get a chance to be around him. You've gotten a chance to travel with and around him. What is Drew Holiday like that we don't know? What is something that you've seen really since you've been able to go in and around road games and at home that maybe we don't get to see as to why he wins an award like this?
I mean, he's the same person that you all see, and I think that's what's great about him on and off the court when you're talking about traveling. Always saying hi to everyone, always making sure that his teammates are taken care of. He's all about family, and he's all about, you know, a lot of his best friends are on the team, the Frank Jacksons, the little Okafors, and they all just stick together. But, I mean, he's just that veteran leader of a team that you always want and so on, especially with a young team like this Pelicans had. I mean, you ask some of these players who they look up to, who's been their mentor, and a lot of them will say Drew Holiday. So, I mean, the Drew that you see in media appearances and everything else, we see that behind the scenes. He's not a different person when we're talking to him without a camera. And so that's what you love about him, that, you know, he asks you how you're doing, he asks how your family's doing, things like that. And I think that goes to show you how much of how kind of a person he is and how much he deserves this award.
Well, one of the things that I think is intriguing and interesting is his role on his team, and it so much goes beyond it and past basketball, really on the court, the gesture that And I say Jester just because of, you know, he and his wife deciding to not, you know, take the game checks and go ahead and donate it to a bunch of different causes while he was in the bubble and things of that nature, man. He's just, he's so much more than basketball, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All the stuff he's doing, give back to the community, as you mentioned, all of his game checks going to those small black owned businesses and the New Orleans area where he grew up in Los Angeles and also in Indianapolis where two of his brothers play basketball. I mean, that's just the kind of person he is. I mean, they practice what they preach, and you see it with the Instagram stories of Lauren and Drew, and they're always posting things about different things in the community that they're doing. When we talk about the things that Drew and Lauren have gone through, with Lauren with the brain tumor and being pregnant and things like that, and you never saw Drew complain. And he always, you know, the Pelicans gave him the time he needed, but he also was very grateful of that, and he also was still connecting with his teammates during that time. So, again, it's just all the different things you see out of Drew Holiday is what we expect from him and what we see every day, and it's nice for him to be that everyone else in the league. I mean, this is a player voting award, so these are the things that the players notice too. It's not just fan voting, it's not media voting, but it's peers that really admire the things that Drew's doing on and off the court.
All right, Daniel, the NBA Finals, just talked to Ali Cosell a little bit about if I should get my hopes up at all. Should I even watch Game 4 of the NBA Finals here? There's so much that has to happen to beat that team. It just is for real, right? And then if they get any help off the bench, it makes it even harder. What do you see in Game 4? Do you think the Heat can legitimately make this a series? Because if I felt if they can steal this game, and I'm using that phrase because I would be, right? If they can steal this game, then maybe some pressure goes on to the Lakers. But until you even it out, even LeBron said it after Game 3, we can still take a commanding series lead with the win on Tuesday. So even they see it as, look, we can still cruise a bit. If they can somehow steal this, do you think then it would be a series, or do you think we even can have one?
I think we can have one, and I think Sunday night showed that you can have